from the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up on this Monday edition, we heard an awful lot about the FBI in last Thursday's Senate Judiciary Committee hearing. Democrat members of the committee held out an FBI investigation into the allegations of Dr. Christine Blasey Ford regarding Judge Brett Kavanaugh as the only way to resolve the matter. On Saturday, the White House called for the investigation. Now, is such an FBI investigation designed to resolve these issues? And if so, would Democrats accept the outcome? We'll talk with retired FBI agent Pete Yachmetz, who has extensive experience with high-level background investigations. And speaking of FBI investigations, Democrats are not the only ones calling for investigations regarding the Kavanaugh nomination. Yesterday, both Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina and Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas suggested Senator Dianne Feinstein's office might have leaked the confidential letter by Dr. Ford and should be investigated. We'll talk with Senator Tom Cotton in just a moment. Also, we ultimately know that this is about the left's efforts to control the courts, enabling them to impose their policies upon the American people, which they could never do legislatively. But in the short term, there is a political side to this battle as we go into the November midterms. Veteran researcher and pollster Scott Rasmussen is here with a look at the numbers. How is this political theater impacting voters? We'll talk about it on this edition of Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. Let me remind you, as we head toward the elections, I want to challenge you to take the pledge to pray, vote, and stand. Pray for our nation. In fact, this week, the focus of prayer is for the church. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But take the pledge. Go to PrayVoteStand.com and take the pledge to pray, to vote, and to stand. All right. Yesterday, Senator Tom Cotton said that Senator Dianne Feinstein of California should face an investigation over her office's handling of the letter from Christine Blasey Ford, in which she alleged Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh sexually assaulted her decades ago. During the recent hearing, Senator Feinstein claimed that she did not disclose Ford's letter to the Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley because Ford had asked it remain private. However, it ended up in the media. With us now is Senator Tom Cotton. He made that announcement yesterday. He is a graduate of Harvard Law School. He also served as in a clerkship with the U.S. Court of Appeals and private law practice. He is also a veteran of the United States Army. He serves on the Intelligence Committee and the Armed Services Committee and the Banking Committee. Senator, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. It's good to be back on with you, as always.
Well, it's good to hear from you. And saw your interview over the weekend. You're raising the issue of, look, I know your colleague Senator Graham said the same, but if the FBI is going to look into Kavanaugh and these allegations from 36 years ago, there's a more recent issue that needs to be investigated, and that's how this letter got into the hands of the media.
Tony, that's exactly right. Let's just remember what happened here. Ms. Ford sent a letter confidentially to Dianne Feinstein in late July, raising these allegations. She asked for Senator Feinstein's confidences. There's a well-established procedure for these kind of allegations, Tony. The two senior members of the committee, the Republican Chuck Grassley and the Democrat Dianne Feinstein, would work with the FBI to review the matters very discreetly and privately. Tony, I can tell you it happens all the time, hundreds of times for all the nominees that are vetted. And it's not uncommon for the FBI to discover something in a nominee, in a potential nominee's background, say, allegations of abuse against an ex-wife or a drinking problem or a gambling problem. And the nominee will frequently withdraw and do so discreetly. Rather than what's happened here, Dianne Feinstein hid it from Chuck Grassley. She hid it from the FBI. She and Chuck Schumer kept it in their back pocket until after Judge Kavanaugh's hearing, until after they had a private session to ask about any sensitive matters, and then leaked it to the media right before the vote, solely to try to torpedo his nomination. The media got it, and only Dianne Feinstein and a Democratic congresswoman from California and their staff had it, so it had to come from them somehow. I think Congress needs to get to the bottom of it, just as happened in the Clarence Thomas-Anita Hill hearing when committee information was leaked.
Senator, let me ask you this question. Is there any doubt in your mind that this is an orchestrated effort to smear Judge Brett Kavanaugh?
Zero doubt, Tony, zero doubt. Just look at the timeline that came to light during the hearing last week. Shortly after Ms. Ford went to Dianne Feinstein's staff, what happened? They recommended that she hire a left-wing attorney in Washington, D.C. to represent her. Attorneys who then went on to lie to Ms. Ford, apparently, because Ms. Ford testified last week that she did not know the Judiciary Committee had offered to fly to California to interview her. And that if she had known that, she would have accepted the offer rather than go through the circus the Democrats created. So unless you assume that her lawyers just simply held that back from her and didn't tell her, I don't know what the explanation would be. And then you see now, you know, allegations that are continuing to come forward from, you know, people like Michael Avenatti, an ambulance chasing lawyer who is becoming increasingly the face of the Democratic Party as he runs for president as a Democrat coming up in 2020. So there's no doubt in my mind, Tony, that Ms. Ford has been abused and victimized by the Democrats and their media wing. And many of the other allegations you see floating around Brett Kavanaugh and the claims being made about him are simply an orchestrated smear campaign to assassinate his character and to prevent the president from filling the Supreme Court vacancy.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas, my guest. Senator, the point you made about her attorneys not being forthright with her on some of the information, that came out really in the first line of questioning from Rachel Mitchell, who did the she is the veteran prosecutor investigator on sex crimes that the committee hired. She asked that question, and it was interesting because it was as if she had no idea that the committee had extended to her this invitation to come and speak. Or rather, to have the committee come to her and do, or the investigators to come to her so she wouldn't have to travel to Washington. That was a pretty widely known fact. I mean, even reported some in the media. So she it's baffling to me that her attorneys didn't share that information with her.
Tony, I would fully agree. Ms. Ford said all along that she did not want to have her allegations made public. She wanted to share them with the committee, and there was, as I said, an avenue to do that. Even once her name became public in mid-September, Tony, and the Judiciary Committee offered to go see her privately in California and to take her statement, you could have avoided the spectacle of a public hearing. But,
right,
Tony, that wouldn't have served the Democrats' interest in trying to slander Judge Kavanaugh and to ultimately, I think, intimidate him into withdrawing from this process. But in the process, they made Ms. Ford go in front of a nationally televised audience when they simply could have interviewed her privately and discreetly in California if her attorneys had conveyed that option to her. That's why I think they're probably going to face an inquiry by the D.C. bar for not adequately representing and communicating with their clients.
I think that would be good. I do. Senator, let me. I'm going to play a clip from one of your colleagues that was on one of the Sunday shows yesterday, Hawaii Senator Hirano, who, I want you to hear this clip, and I'm going to ask you about it.
That's going to be the big outstanding question. And I would think that Jeff Flake and the other senators who are going for this investigation will call for. There's time, you know. The thing is that every Senate vote matters, and there's time to get to the bottom of it, even if it's 7 days. That's bad enough. But then to limit the FBI as to the scope and who they're going to question, that really, I wanted to use the word farce, but that's not the kind of investigation that all of us are expecting the FBI to conduct.
So the question was about whether or not they would essentially accept the outcome of the FBI investigation, which they were calling for repeatedly in the hearing last week. It looks like they're already setting the stage that no matter what the FBI comes back with, it's not going to be acceptable.
Tony, that sound you hear is the goalpost being picked up by the Democrats and the media and being moved further and further back. I predicted all this last week before Jeff Flake decided at the last minute that he wanted an FBI investigation, that no matter what happened, the Democrats in the Senate, all 49 of them, would pronounce it unfair, inadequate, or a farce, as Mazie Hirono just said. Tony, they don't want an FBI investigation. They don't want to get to the facts. They don't want to make a reasonable conclusion. They want to destroy Brett Kavanaugh's character and to prevent the president from filling this vacancy on the Supreme Court. And if I have anything to do with it, Tony, that's not going to happen.
Ultimately, this is about, and I'm going to ask you if you agree, I see this as about controlling the court. The left, who has had the benefit for almost the last five decades of controlling our courts to some degree or another, this is the only way they can impose their policies on the nation. And so they can't do it legislatively. So they have to have the courts, and they are desperate to keep that avenue open for them.
Tony, I think that's right. The left in America consistently cannot win at the ballot box and in legislatures and in Congress because its views are so radical and unpopular. Therefore, they have used the courts in many cases to impose those views on an unwilling Democratic majority. That is why they have become so hysterical at the prospect of having a genuine center-right majority on the Supreme Court for the first time in decades. And that's why they're willing to stop at nothing to assassinate Judge Kavanaugh's character. And again, if I have anything to do with it, that will not happen, and Brett Kavanaugh will soon be known as Justice Kavanaugh.
How long before you think this confirmation process concludes and he's seated on the court?
Tony, there's still some movement on the potential date. You know, we have to get the FBI reports back. Again, I think it's going to be soon. I think it's going to be limited. It's basically going to be witnesses who are telling the FBI what they already told the Judiciary Committee. Since they were speaking to the Judiciary Committee under penalty of perjury and likewise speaking to the FBI under penalty of perjury, I'm very doubtful anyone will change their story. But as soon as that happens, and as soon as we confirm there's no significant corroborating evidence or proof or what have you, we should move immediately to a vote. Tony, that could take about 2 to 3 days. We're speaking here on Monday afternoon. I'm hopeful that Justice Kavanaugh will be seated at the beginning of next week on the Supreme Court.
All right. Senator Tom Cotton, thanks so much for joining us today. As always, great to talk with you.
Thank you. Great to be on with you.
All right. Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas. Watch this, folks. This is and be praying about this as well. The stakes are so high. This is critical. This is one of those generational decisions, and that's why the left is pitching a fit, because we will have a court that is right of center for the first time, I think, in a quarter of a century. I mean, you look at what they have done through the courts. Prayer out of the schools, Bible out of the schools, abortion on demand, redefinition of marriage, removal of the Ten Commandments, open border policies. That's the result of the courts. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk with a veteran FBI agent who has done these background investigations. What are these designed for? Will this actually answer the questions? That's next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting FRC.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, Civil Liberties Attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, Senior Research Fellow in the Technology Policy Program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. All right, in a stunning turn of events this past Friday, President Trump ordered the FBI to reopen the investigation of Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh's background. I had said Saturday, but it actually came out Sunday. Friday, and there's been back and forth all weekend as to the scope of this investigation. Now, if you'll recall, this was the basically the line of questioning that the Senate Democrats did of Brett Kavanaugh last Thursday. Would you agree to an FBI? Would you call for an FBI investigation? He said, whatever the committee wants. Well, will this actually solve the issue? The question here about Brett Kavanaugh and these allegations from 36 years ago, is such a background investigation, which, by the way, he's gone through six times, designed to resolve this? With us now is Pete Yachmetz, a retired FBI agent for nearly 30 years with the Bureau. When he retired, he was a senior special agent and has vast experience in background checks of high-level officials such as this. Pete, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tiffany. How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you, and I appreciate you joining us because I think it'd be instructive for our folks to understand just what goes into such a background investigation, and is it designed to resolve issues like what we have on display here in the Senate Judiciary Committee?
Well, a spin background investigation, which is what it's called at the Bureau, at the top of the list for these type of investigations would be the Supreme Court Justice, and he would work down from there. What FBI agents are very familiar with conducting, they know what the objective is, they know the scope, they know the principal areas to be addressed, how to deal with unfavorable comments and derogatory matters, and they go out and they do a very unbiased, very thorough investigation, okay, of the individual. The principal areas that they would address would be character, actions or statements revealing demeanor, trustworthiness, reliability, discretion. They would associates. They would contact associates. They would look at their reputation. They would ask questions regarding reputation. regarding loyalty, allegiance to the United States, what the qualifications and the professional ability of the individual, of the nominee would be. They would ask some questions regarding suitability, perhaps if there was a misconduct in a prior employment. Was he a no-show a lot? Is there any criminal aspects back there? And then security issues, behavior tending to show perhaps an unreliability or a concern for trustworthiness with, in our aspect, it was with dealing with extremely classified government information. In this aspect, that they're, since they've gone over it six times, I believe there's a severe misunderstanding of the procedure exists, of exactly what the Bureau is going to do and won't do. This is not going to be a criminal investigation. There's no sitting grand jury, no subpoenas. Agents cannot even force you to talk. If they ring your doorbell and you decide, due to all the media hoopla that's been going on about this, they could say, I'm sorry, I decided I don't want to talk with you, thank you very much, and politely close the door. In all likelihood, every FBI SAC, the 56 field offices, has already been briefed. Agents are going to re-interview accusers with an eye towards corroboration and credibility. A comparison is going to be done. Every resource that the Bureau has will be made available.
Let me stop you and ask you, Pete, to kind of put this in context for a bit. How many agents do you think would be involved in this investigation?
I would venture to say that every one of the Bureau's 14,000 agents is probably on call, that if there is a lead to be covered in their territory, to be ready to respond immediately, because there is, I would be shocked if there wasn't a command post set up at headquarters to address this entire matter. I would be absolutely even more shocked if most, if not all, of the interviews have already been conducted and are being put on paper.
And then all of that
I'm sorry?
That all that information comes from the field back into the headquarters and is synthesized and put into an overall report?
Well, what happens when you'll go out and do two agents will go out and do the interview, okay? They'll have their specific questions, what they want to ask, like I said, regarding character, associates, reputation, and so on. And then they'll come back to the office and they'll put it on paper and they'll send it up the chain through their supervisor to the SAC. The SAC will approve it and forward it down to headquarters. And the package will be put together at headquarters, reviewed by headquarters personnel, who then will forward it to at the command post. There probably is the assistant director, if not the director in the command post. When he reviews it, he puts the package together. He either sends it over by his associate, by the deputy or the assistant, or Director Ray might walk it over himself to the White House to present to the president.
I would imagine they're going to be working around the clock to get this accomplished by the end of this week, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah. The time frame is not going to be any type of an issue. There's only six people. The Bureau solved the Oklahoma bombing incident in less than 2 days. Okay, they found an axle, they traced the VIN, the employees went to shop, they did a composite. This is not going to be an issue. Six interviews is not going to be an issue. Like I said, there's 56 field offices, hundreds of RAs, approximately 14,000 agents throughout the country. Agents are going to be briefed or probably have already been briefed and assigned to complete interviews in their territory, and they're going to hit the street. And
we're up against a break. Pete, can you hang on? Because I want to ask you a couple more questions on the other side of this about the scope and if it's not a criminal investigation, what will be the likely outcome? So don't go away. We're coming back right after this. More with Pete Yatmetz in just a moment. Don't go away.
feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen. Sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, tonyperkins.com. All right. Discussing the issue of the FBI investigation, what it is, what it isn't, what the most likely outcome will be, how it will, kind of the whole process. We're speaking with Pete Yachmetz, a veteran FBI agent with over 30 years of experience in the Bureau. He's retired now. But he retired as a senior special agent and has vast experience in background checks of high-level officials such as Supreme Court nominees. Pete, thanks for hanging on there.
Sure, Tony.
So we've established that all of the resources the FBI has are put onto this. They're working this thing around the clock. They'll have this information for the White House. So two questions here that I want to start with is, number one, as we know it, the scope of this investigation, how broad might this investigation be, given that we've had six previous FBI background checks? Are they going to go and redo all of that, or how will this unfold?
I don't believe they're going to go and redo all of it, but they will review everything. With FBI agents can be very clever, very resourceful. In an effort to identify any other avenues that may be relevant to pursue in these type matters. I don't think they're going to re-interview the judge, simply because what more are they're going to ask him the same questions that they already did six times. Okay. Mm-hmm. A very thorough, in-depth investigation. They may go back and they're going to look at the neighborhood investigation where they interviewed the neighbors of the last three or four or five places where he may have resided, references, associates. They may even do some relatives, classmates, and things of that nature. They're going to interview some bar association people, leadership, other attorneys, all levels of judges. If they haven't spoken to enough of his professional people, they're definitely going to go back out and redo or add to or solidify his professional reputation, his demeanor, legal ability. And they're also going to interview the accusers. They're going to go out and they are going to talk to the people, obviously, who are making these accusations, and see what they see what they say.
Now, let me ask you about that. If they are dishonest, and they mislead an FBI agent, that's a criminal offense, correct?
Yes. Yeah. To see that it's, even though it's not a criminal investigation, it's a SPIN, Special Inquiry Bureau acronym, full field background investigation. Even though it's not a criminal investigation, the same legal jeopardy holds. If you blatantly lie to an FBI agent during the course of an official interview, there is a 5 year. I think it's 5 years unless they've changed it. You're exposed to 5 years in federal prison.
So, given your experience in these investigations, is it likely that the FBI and the six previous background investigations of Brett Kavanaugh missed something that would suggest that that he is an abuser, that there's a pattern there? Would that not have come out in those investigations?
Absolutely. It's highly unlikely that they're going to find anything that they haven't found six times. I mean, if you were going to redo a single background investigation, I would say perhaps they missed something. If you did it perhaps twice, I would say perhaps you guys missed something. But if they went back and they did it six times, and now all of a sudden all of these accusations are being made public, in my opinion, it's highly unlikely that they're going to find any credibility to those accusations, and they're not going to be able to corroborate it because, I mean, it's already going by what the doctor said at the hearing last week. She couldn't provide so many details that if you were going to court, you would need to substantiate or to corroborate a violation, and she just couldn't do it.
Pete, we're almost out of time. One final question here.
Sure.
Is this the silver bullet, the final solution for this question that Democrats are asking for? Is there just more information that's going to be presented to them?
Unfortunately, I think what the Bureau does, they're going to be found to be lacking in its entirety. They're going to say that you didn't do this. You limited the time. You limited the scope. You limited who you spoke to. They've got to go. The biggest thing that they do in these investigations and reinvestigations is credibility. Right. Is there a reasonable suspicion, which equals probable cause, and if it's not there, they're not going to go out and interview anybody who said that some of the stuff was just off the rails.
Right, right. Pete, thanks so much. Very insightful and I think very helpful to our listeners. Pete Yotmetz, former FBI agent, 30 years plus experience. All right, so we've got the process down. We got the scope. Let's talk about the political implications here. Coming up next, Scott Rasmussen, been doing tracking polls to talk about this political theater and its impact upon voters. That's next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Do you feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting FRC.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, Civil Liberties Attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, Senior Research Fellow in the Technology Policy Program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, as I mentioned at the top of the program, I want to challenge you to take the pledge to pray, vote, and stand. We're 6 weeks away from the election, and each week going into this election, we're having a prayer focus. Last week it was the family. This week it's the church. In fact, today, if you take the pledge, we'll send you these prayer points each day. Today, October the 1st, it's holiness. Pray for the sanctification and holiness of the church. We're called to be distinctive, different, and set apart for the Lord, which is essential to the church's influence and spiritual power. And a couple scriptures there, but that's the prayer point for today. Take the pledge. Go to PrayVoteStand.com. PrayVoteStand.com. Take the pledge. Join with thousands of others across the country committing to pray for our nation, committing to vote in this upcoming election, and to stand for those values which have made America great. Well, speaking of voting, how is all this drama in Washington with Brett Kavanaugh, how is that affecting voters? I mean, almost everyone I spoke to this Sunday at church, that was the subject matter. Brett Kavanaugh, is he going to be confirmed? What's going on in Washington? They lost their mind. Just everybody's focused on it. What impact is this having on voters? Well, as I ask that question, I cannot think of anyone better to ask that question of than veteran researcher and pollster, our good friend Scott Rasmussen. Scott, welcome back to Washington Watch.
It's great to be with you again, and that sounds like a really simple question, but voters are having a tough time sorting through everything. In fact, and I will list this as a very encouraging piece of information. Going into the Judiciary Committee hearings, almost every political figure in Washington had come out for or against Judge Kavanaugh, but most Americans were still waiting to hear what they had to say. Some had soft opinions, favorable or unfavorable, of Dr. Ford or Judge Kavanaugh, but opinions weren't set. We start to see them hardening a little bit after the hearing, and right now, this is a gross oversimplification. but Republicans and Republican-leaning voters think this has been a Democratic smear. They want the judge confirmed. They think the whole thing is ridiculous. Democrats and Democratic-leaning voters say just the opposite. They say it's obvious this man is a liar and a sexual harasser, and he should not be allowed in the court. And so we have this polarized nation.
So we're at a point, is it fair to say that we're at a point where, depending on the jersey that you wear, you're going to see the outcome that you're almost predisposed to see? That I think I would say this. I think that if the evidence on Judge Kavanaugh had been credible and it had been introduced, this is my view, and I don't know if you can back this up in any of the polling that you did, but had this come out in the scope of the normal hearing, the process, this was put out there in daylight as opposed to kind of an 11th hour effort to derail the nomination, I actually think Republicans would have push the pause button and say, wait a minute, let me find out more about this. But because it's tainted through the process that was used, I think people see this as nothing more than more partisan politics.
Well, Republicans certainly see it that way, and Democrats see the flip side, that it's partisan politics just to rush and get this man on the court. And yes, the reason we have that is because the process is played out in such a public court rather than in private hearings where things could have been discussed in a different way. One interesting thing in the polling data is that on the day the hearing was on a Thursday, and Thursday night and Friday morning we ended up doing some polling to get reactions. And public opinion of both Judge Kavanaugh and Dr. Ford improved following the hearing, more highly of both of them after hearing what they had to say. So it wasn't an either-or situation. I think there was a perception that they were both credible at times. They both had some things that maybe raised some questions. But all in all, I think they both did very well and were well-received in the court of public opinion. Where it goes from here, I think this one-week time for an FBI investigation, if something turns up that is really damaging to Judge Kavanaugh, I think Republicans will change their opinion and will vote against him. Beyond that, if nothing turns up, I think you will continue to see Democrats say we need more time, and Republicans will vote to confirm. And from my point of view, the most interesting person to watch in that drama will not be Susan Collins, but would be Joe Donnelly, senator from Indiana. You know, he initially said he was going to oppose Kavanaugh. Now he's a maybe, depending on how this happens. And I think he'll be watching the polling data in Indiana this week very carefully.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Scott Rasmussen, my guest. Scott, and by the way, Scott has a report. You can go to TonyPerkins.com, follow the links over. I mean, he's been doing a lot of tracking, polling on this and other issues. So bottom line, does this have a motivating effect upon Republicans the way it's playing out when it comes to the midterm elections? And is the reverse true? Does it have a motivating impact upon Democratic voters as well?
To begin with the fact that Democrats were more motivated to vote ahead of the Kavanaugh hearings than Republicans were. Over the week, this past week really fired up the Democrats. The week before really fired up the Republicans. And now we have another week-long waiting period to see what finally happens. My expectation is it will fire up voters on both sides, which means it is good for Republicans in Senate races in places like West Virginia, Missouri, Indiana, North Dakota. It is probably bad for Republicans in swing districts, suburban districts, where Republicans are likely to struggle in the House. And the reason I say that is while Judge Kavanaugh's numbers have improved a little since his performance last week, they have improved primarily among men. The gender gap is getting bigger. Most Republican women still support Judge Kavanaugh, but the numbers aren't quite as strong as they were before all these allegations.
Does this put the issue of the court back at the forefront in the minds of voters, which was such a important determining factor in the 2016 presidential election? Is this kind of dredge all that back up to where now the court is not a theoretical issue, but it's a very practical, real political matter that people are thinking about when they go to the polls?
Absolutely. The Supreme Court is always an issue that Republicans are more motivated by, and this fight is making it clear. I think something else has happened, though, and that was done surprisingly by Senator Lindsey Graham with his commentary during the hearings. It's no longer just about the Supreme Court. It is about which team are you on. He made it clearly a partisan political issue. So if nothing else comes out of Judge Kavanaugh, it's a reminder to voters that in all things, in Supreme Court confirmation battles, but in other things, the team that you're on matters. And so if you're somebody like Joe Manchin, who people like in the state, they may conclude Joe's a great guy, but we really don't want Chuck Schumer to be in charge of the Senate. We don't want the Democrats setting the agenda. And that puts Senator Manchin in a difficult position.
Yes, Scott, I think that's a really interesting point, because Lindsey Graham, who is, I mean, I have him on the program quite frequently. I like Lindsey. He's very knowledgeable. He has a good understanding of the issues and the working of the Senate. That said, he's kind of the guy that you would say that many people see as kind of in the middle, working with both sides and oftentimes bringing together, Democrats and Republicans. And for him to make that statement, as he did last week, about the divide and drawing attention to it is quite significant. And this goes beyond politics. It goes beyond, you know, what we're talking about here in polling. More of a standpoint of, we are a divided nation. We're seeing that increasingly with each successive election. What's it going to take to get America back to where there is some unity in our nation and we're not so polarized politically?
You know, I think the first way to answer that is, we are polarized politically. We are not as polarized when you look at society at large. There's an awful lot of common ground in general society and belief in freedom and letting people live their lives as they see fit and respecting the rights of others to do the same. There's a strong belief that we can all find ways to work together in community to create a better world, even if we can't figure out how to work together politically. But when you talk about the political system, I fear that things will get worse before they get better. We have a government that is growing ever more centralized and a society that is growing ever more decentralized. And that's a disconnect that can't continue. I have a new book out called The Sun is Still Rising. It talks about how politics has failed, but America will not. And I go into a lot of discussion of this. And unfortunately, when you have a shift like this with a government and its society going in different directions, it will take something very unpleasant before things turn around. So I'm optimistic about our nation in the long run, but I'm concerned about the short run steps to get there.
I would share that. I think the reason politics were so polarized politically is because I think from government, as you said, it's ever expanding bureaucracy. Government has gotten bigger. Government has taken issues that were not considered political and made them political issues, which has created this division. I think I would see the way forward to be less government, more civil society, more of these other institutions taking back the role and the responsibility they had before the expansion of government.
And I think that the way to do that is to recognize the first step is to have other organizations, other institutions step up and begin to take back some of that role. It's not waiting for government to say it's okay to do that. It's simply solving problems where you can. And
exactly.
That's a tough thing. It is something I talk about in the book. It's something I believe in very strongly. And
You know, when you start to do that, you begin to work. You know this as well as anybody. When you work on a community project and you find people that you don't normally associate with, but you get together and you work on something, you feel really good about it. When you get involved in the political process today, you feel like you have to take a shower when you come out of the whatever discussion you're in. And I think we really need to build up those other sides of things to begin to solve problems. And that's the way it's always been done in this country. And I expect we will get there, but it's not going to be a smooth landing.
And I think you're right. It's not waiting for the government to send an invitation because it'll never come. It's just a matter of the churches and other nonprofit and community-based organizations to step forward and start solving problems, not waiting for permission, but just going forward and doing it. Scott, always great to have you on the program. And how can people find out more about the book?
The book is available at Amazon.com. You can also find it on my website at ScottRasmussen.com. And published by the Sutherland Institute, and love talking about it.
All right. Well, we'll talk more about it. Scott, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
All right. Scott Rasmussen. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and follow the links over. Yeah, I could not agree more. You know, politics has become more divided, and this is why I believe politics is dividing the nation. And some would say, well, why are you involved in politics if it's dividing the nation? Well, many of these issues that we care about and that we were working on for years were not political. Life, sanctity of human life, of marriage, of family, those were not political issues. They were made political in large part because of the court stepping in, imposing a leftist view. And so people fought back. I mean, what did you expect when they just said that it's open season on the unborn and you're going to pay for it? You didn't expect people to push back? Or that marriage can be whatever you want it to be? You didn't expect people to push back? In a republic, we have that right and responsibility. At the same time, though, we need to be working through our churches and other community-based organizations to solve problems. I do believe that that is the path forward in bringing about greater unity in our nation. Because when you have those conversations with people in those settings and you're rolling up your sleeves, working together to whether it's, helping single moms, helping the poor, the disadvantaged, cleaning up communities, whatever it might be, you begin to see people in a different way, not without labels, but just as other human beings caring for others. All right, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and also take the pledge to pray, to vote, and to stand. Go to PrayVoteStand.com. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.